How's it going, everybody? This is me again, Chewy, your host for the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again joined by my good friend Monica.
Hi, guys.
How's it been, Monica?
Good. Just chilling, working, and drinking, really.
That is the life, my friend, indeed. Samesies. Samesies, I've been chilling. Working, drinking. I actually finished the beer right now that I like the flavor of it more than the one that I was drinking last week. But okay. I drank it too fast. It's a 24-ouncer, by the way, so now I feel like I can roll out of my room. I feel like a chewy basketball. I have some news. I got the vaccine. The first one of two. I have my next one coming up in about 3 weeks, and that at least, I mean, puts me a little bit more at ease. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm going to get mine on Monday, I think.
Yeah, I feel better. So I even actually took my parents to lunch the other day, and I was like, okay, I can actually go out and have fun.
That's cool. That'd be so stressed.
Yeah, besides that, I mean, everything's work, 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 like that song. I'm a little bit disappointed because I have to go in on my day off next week to finish something that I could have finished today and tomorrow, but okay, whatever.
Boo.
I just worked there. I'm not the boss, and yeah, you know, if I were the boss, that place would be bumping. But anyways, let's go ahead and remind our listeners of our social media accounts. We have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is MythsBehindLGDS, and you can also email us at MythsBehindLegends@gmail.com.
Yes, 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 of course. We have our Letterboxd, in which we do movie reviews, bite-sized movie reviews of the movies that we covered. And we also have our watch list, in which we have our list of movies that we're going to choose from. I mean, we may not get to do all those for a while, because I think I have like 40 or something under.
Damn.
But at least so people have an idea of what we might cover in upcoming episodes, and they can always suggest movies for us to cover, and we can put them under. Yes, that is also under Myths Behind LGDS on Letterboxd, and we have our infamous official / unofficial website, courtesy of Monica. This will be our final website, I think.
The only website.
I feel like if we change it, we're going to lose some of our essence.
It'll hurt for sure.
If we ever upgrade, I think I'll just keep this and have it like an unofficial like fan blog or something. Yes, so anyways, here it goes. The website is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Woo!
That reminds me of those commercials for like farmersonly.com.
Farmers Only?
You never saw those?
The dating site?
Yeah. They have like a little song at the end.
It's been a long time.
How did it go? I forgot how the song was, but something like, you don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like our website deserves a jingle like that. So, all right, Monica, what are we going to be talking about today for our audience?
Today, we're talking about The Binding.
Chan, chan, chan. And, well, we'll get to the specifics of that in the next segment, but...
Yeah.
Just a one-sentence thing. How do you feel about this movie?
I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
It was pretty cool.
Alright, so that'll be our preview of our critique segment, which is coming right after this break. And, yeah, stick around with us. We'll be right back. Okay, Monica, so as you mentioned a little bit earlier, we are going to cover the movie The Binding, and this is on Netflix, right?
Yes.
All right, so you mentioned that you thought it was interesting and that you liked it, correct?
I knew it was a foreign one, like, but I forgot what language, and then I started seeing like words that I kind of understood, and I was like, oh, it's Italian. Everything that they were saying, like I was just thinking like that sounds like what I would imagine Italian to sound like. Yeah.
Well, yes, my friend, because it is in Italian. So, but I always thought it was interesting how Italian sounds really, really close to Spanish
Yeah.
for some words. I mean, not all of them, but
Because of the Latin, like, and like I don't all that other stuff, I don't know.
I believe, if I am correct, that Italian is the closest one that we have on, in the modern languages to like the way Latin was spoken and written back in the day. I mean, there's still some differences in their languages, but I think Italian might be the closest one to its root, because as they moved westward, you know, towards France and Spain and all that stuff, the Latin started mixing with the regional dialects. So we're doing kind of like a little bit of history lesson here. But yeah, and that's what we ended up with French, or with Spanish, you know, Portuguese, stuff like that. So yeah, I am going to disagree with you a little bit on this. I thought it was like an eh movie, honestly. I mean, I will say that I liked the cinematography of it. The shots were pretty good.
Yes.
I liked the landscapes. I liked the way they were shot. They did like panoramic shots of the mountainscapes and the forest and all this. And it really makes me want to go there to Europe sometime in my life, you know, sometime in the future
Same.
probably. But one thing that I noticed in this movie, and that I've been noticing in a lot of current movies from the past maybe 10 years or so, is they have this weird filter on them.
A filter?
Like the colors, they look a little bit faded, or I don't know how to describe it. It's a little weird, and this movie made me see that I'm not a fan of that filter.
Huh.
It kind of makes it look, I don't know,
Blurry?
not blurry. It looks
Not high def?
like the color scheme looks a little bit different than I would imagine it actually looking in real life.
Huh.
It looks too yellow or too orange. I don't know. It's a little weird.
Interesting.
Maybe
I don't know if I caught that.
it's just me. I mean, and I'm not a film student. I'm not a cinematographer. I'm not a movie maker. But I've noticed like some of the movies that we've been watching for this lately, especially the newer ones, they have that weird little orange filter, and I don't know. Like I it just kind of like hurts my eyes after a while.
Yeah, I don't know what filter you're talking about.
Yeah, and this is just me being nitpicky. I mean, this has nothing to do with the content of the movie itself. I'll get to that in a minute, but yeah, I just wanted to point that out. Like the later or latest movies, especially the ones on Netflix. I don't know if it's a Netflix thing that they have a whole bunch of weird like coloring palettes on their cameras. But how do you feel about the movie, like the way it was shot?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked that in that one scene where she's in the car accident, where she crashes. When she comes out, everything is muffled, you know, like we can hear it. And I like the fact that it was like emanating what it would feel like or sound like after a car accident. Cause I've been in a car accident before, and like, I don't know, maybe that's why I liked it, because it kind of just was like, oh my gosh, this is real. This feels real. And I was like, oh my God, I know what she's going through. Like, yeah. See, I also broke a window with my head,
Oh, wow.
except mine actually shattered. Hers didn't, you know, she bled. I didn't bleed. I don't know how, but yeah.
Well, I want to
My
say
head is
that
pretty.
we are all happy you're okay, my friend.
Yeah. And I'm amazed at the strength of my cranium.
That is where our brain is in close in the skull, I guess. Imagine that this is like your dream in the Matrix.
What?
Well, anyways, that's a little bit off topic there, but well, going back to the movie, I feel like the story was kind of typical for a movie like this, and this is again something that we've talked about before, where a person from the city or somebody from that's really like, I guess, well, I don't want to say sophisticated because she's not like fancy or anything like that, but she's like a city
Yeah, but
girl.
she's not from the country type
Yeah,
countryside.
she's a real estate agent, I think. She sells like big properties like all over Europe, I think.
Yeah.
At some point, we hear her talking to a client in English for like a minute.
I thought something was wrong with me when that happened. I was like, wait, am I hearing this right? Like, is she talking English right now? I thought this was an Italian movie.
To me, it's a motif that we've seen in a few of the movies that we've discussed, in which a person from the city comes into a faraway location or community. They experience or see some weird stuff along the way, and they come across unknown forces or entities or.
It's always something to do with witchcraft. Always.
Midsummer has, I mean, it may not be witchcraft, but it's like rituals, like
Yeah, and then the
traditional.
other one, the rituals, literal rituals were going on.
Yeah, so we've seen that in a couple of the movies that we've talked about, and I wonder why, again, people are scared of the forest or the.
It's creepy, dude. I mean, I would be scared too, especially at night. I mean, I would one day want to go camping, but all I'm going to be thinking about is like the Blair Witch Project and like killer animals and or getting bit by a spider or a my worst fear is like getting bit by a snake or like falling in a pit of snakes, right? Or just encountering a snake, period. I've seen a few, but like not big ones to where I should be like, oh, like, you know, scary. And then the other one is spiders. I would hate to get bit by one and then have my skin rot. And the other thing is scorpions. I'm petrified of scorpions because I know that they kill, you know, like their venom is very strong. So yeah, no.
Like the girl in the movie, she was bit by a spider, right? Tarantula, I think.
Yeah, a tarantula. Yeah, it was like a tarantula.
I've never been bitten by a spider before, and I hope I never am. I wonder if that's like an accurate reaction to what a spider bite would be. Like the way her blisters on her back form, like that girl.
I mean, they can if it gets infected or something, or that something. I mean, I feel like it's possible for the skin to do that because I know. I mean, when you get bit by a brown recluse, your skin starts to rot
Oh
and
yeah.
you get a little hollow point, you know. So I imagine that if you get bit by a snake, I mean a snake, a spider that's like maybe has like some irritability or irritant in their venom or their whatever. That reaction will cause something like that. So I mean, you get blisters off of random things too, like
Yeah, just about anything, I mean.
even like ant bites, like they can turn into a blister, you know? So yeah.
Do you think that spider was sent by the girl that was trying to bind her?
I was confused, to be honest, like, cause like I get the story, I get the backstory about how she got, but like, they never said. If they figured out what that evil was, where did it come from?
Exactly.
Right? Because it just appeared. It's like, well, who cursed you guys in the first place?
You don't know what the nature of, like, what was it, a demon? Was it a.
Yeah, that wasn't explained. They didn't talk about what this guy summoned or like what exactly he asked for, which that's pretty dick, dude. Like, oh, I don't want you to have a baby. You don't want to get rid of it. So I'm a f***ing like. Witchcraft your ass so that you know you don't have the baby. Like, just push her down a flight of stairs like a normal person. Why do you have to create witchcraft? What the hell?
Okay, here at WeMBO do not condone violence of any kind.
I'm kidding, guys. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic,
Well,
but
but
like,
in the context of a movie universe, right? In the context of a movie universe.
yeah, why wouldn't you like? Or give her some kind of potion, you know? Like, if they know magic, they should know. The mom is like a connoisseur of herbs and stuff and like random remedies. Like, you should have given her something, mixed it in with her drink or something, or her food, so that it would make her, like, you know, yeet the baby out of her system, you know, but like, instead of like, you know, making a pact with the freaking demon or something.
Yeah, because I mean the lady knows what she's doing, but the guy doesn't. She even mentions that like he made the greatest mistake of his life or something like that.
Because he didn't know what the f he was doing. He was going in blind.
What do you think about the reveal of who this? For now, I'm calling her the villain.
Her name is Ada, which translates into a fairy, and she's nothing close to a fairy. She's like horrible.
Aren't fairies supposed to be evil in some of those stories?
Yeah, I guess in some cultures, yes, that's right.
Like
Mythology or whatever,
in the
yeah.
OG Grimm stories, aren't they not to be trusted
Yeah, they
and
are. I think they might even be cannibals or something. Yeah.
because we gotta remember that those stories are not as like butterflies and
Yeah,
rainbows
they
is.
cleaned them up for us because, we can't handle all that evil stuff. Apparently, that's what they thought. They're like, oh, let's make it cute so that people will invest their money in like all the things that we're gonna do related to that.
Yeah.
Disney.
They make you think the mom and the maid are the bad ones.
Right, because they're acting funky or whatever, so it has to be them. And then she's like, I don't want people touching my child. It's like, she's a freaking, like, what, 12-year-old? She's gonna do whatever the hell she wants. Like, and she's the most curious little girl ever. Like, in the beginning, she straight up appears a baby, which they never said what the f that was either.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
what was the baby? What did they sacrifice it? Like, what was that? They never explained that either.
Well, since we find out they're good people in the end, I guess, or near the end, I think maybe they're trying to, like, cure the babies of some, like, either the, what do you call those? When they have, air inside of them from their baby bottle?
Yeah, colic.
Yeah, and that makes some babies uneasy, depending, like, this is, like, I have no kids. I don't have any kids, you know? But I've heard that if babies drink their bottle at the wrong angle for too long, whatever, like an air pocket forms in their
Yep.
belly, in their little stomach,
And they don't know
like,
how to deal with it, so they're just
yeah.
like crying all the time.
Yeah, until they burp, you know?
Yeah. It's like us, with the same to us, but like us as adults, but we don't cry about it.
Yeah.
I'm over here hating on babies.
So, well, yeah, just to clarify, you don't have babies either, right?
I don't have children, no.
Yeah, so.
I have fur children. I have dogs, which are so much better. They don't talk back, Well, they
Yeah.
kind of do sometimes, but like it's funny. What the hell are they gonna do? They're tiny little dogs.
Have cats, and they're like teenagers, so you kind of just sleep and talk, or talk, sleep and eat all day, you know?
I mean, they talk to themselves, I'm
Yeah.
sure, but not to
Yeah,
us.
every now and then they fight amongst themselves, like for territory, like get out of my box, man, whatever, like. Do you think this movie had many scary moments or
I literally screamed maybe twice.
no?
I was extra sensitive, so like I was really focused on the movie, and then there were two times where I screamed, or I went like, ah! Like I gasped. And
Okay.
then the second one I did kind of scream, I was like, oh my God. My sister looked at me. She was watching the movie with me and she was like super annoyed. She was like, oh my God, what do you got? Like, it's not even that scary. But
I think your sister and I share the same opinion. well, it's because to me the reveal was kind of meh. Like, I mean, going back to the how they paint the mom and the maid as the bad ones for a while, and then I don't know where you kind of get the story about how the guy was dating this girl way back in the day and how he did this messed up thing to her, and then she therefore became evil. And you do kind of see her in one of the scenes where the girl is chasing the dog in the in that field of trees. You can't really tell what she is until later. What do you think the ending represents? Because at the very end, or you know, in the climax of the movie, they deal with her. She comes into the home. She gets the mom to like stab herself. The you know the girl's mom, and then the mother-in-law. She kind of like.
Chokes,
Yeah, chokes her or makes her faint or something.
asphyxiated, yeah.
Yeah, and then you kind of see her trying to, I guess, either possess the girl or, you know, do something to her. And then the mom wakes up and she stabs her in the neck with scissors. And then they show the final scene in which the girl's playing the piano and then she messes up a couple of notes. And you see her face like, like, oh, something's wrong, whatever. And then you see the guy waking up. And by this point, they had made you think the guy was dead. So, do you think he's gonna be the one haunting them now, or is he, well, he never really died? Like, or like, what happened there?
Well, my sister brought this up too, and she said that because the guy was possessed, technically, by her, right? They left him for dead. And they didn't bring him along to, like, I guess, release the demon from him or something. I don't know. Like, but the little girl. I mean, the demon probably left the body of Ada, but stayed in the other guy. So when this chick died, it awoke Francesco.
Ah.
I'm dead, but like I'm still here, so boo, you know?
I like how you put that, just boo. We should make that into a shirt also.
And then since they've went through that like traumatic experience, I guess now they're like their senses are heightened or whatever, which is why they all were like, whoa, something's up in the air, something's not okay. Yeah.
I guess because at some point they all kind of like share their blood with each other, like because the lady explained something about that, about how sharing the blood makes the binding amongst themselves grow and the other one kind of fade away or something like that. Or at least that's what I understood from the scene.
Which is why when their her the mom and the girl's blood merged, they both woke up. Which I thought like, okay, I was pretty sure this chick stabbed herself in the heart.
Yeah.
But apparently it was a little bit above because she survived, because you don't survive freaking heart stabbing, you know? And she lost a lot of blood too, so I'm just like whenever they woke up, they healed each other or something, or like they were healed because they weren't being possessed anymore. Like, I thought she was dead, you know? Why'd she come out seemingly unharmed?
Yeah, I had a similar reaction to that, and I was like, well, I don't get this ending.
I didn't like it. I didn't like the ending. Like, everything up until the ending, it was like interesting. I was like, well, this is cool. And then at the end, how everything like got tied up together for the ending was just kind of like meh. I was like, nah, that's stupid. I don't like that. I was like, it doesn't make any sense. I had so many questions. I was like, no.
I've said this repeatedly in the past episodes that I don't mind when movies try to get you to think about what happened,
Yeah.
or when they kind of try to get you to use your imagination and try to figure things out, but I always ha have a somewhat of a bitter taste in my mouth when I can't figure out where they're coming from or where they're going, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Was this girl ever really dead? Because at some point in the very beginning, that's when that she's the one that they're trying to, I guess,
Unpossessed.
exercise or cleanse or whatever
Yeah.
they're doing. And it kind of makes you think they're doing something bad to this girl because in all the movies that we see, like when somebody goes to the country, it's like the family that lives here, it's like evil and
They're the bad guys, yeah.
yeah, they try to get the people from outside to join them or kill them or whatever, right? And this movie has that vibe up until maybe like the 2/3 in where they reveal that the guy was the one responsible for this. So I want to ask you again, do you think this girl ever really died?
No, and that's the other thing I was gonna bring that up too. Technically, she was possessed when she ran away. How she survived all that time. Didn't they even say how much time had passed since these two were engaged?
I think I remember, and in the scene where the wife or the fiance, the lady, when she finds the letters or the invitations to the wedding, whatever, I think I remember the date saying 1990 or 1990 something. So, but that means this guy would be like in his late 40s, you know?
Yeah.
So he would have been in his early 20s or really early 20s, maybe. Or maybe even the teens. Maybe he was like 18 or 19 when he met this girl, and he's probably now 40s, maybe the low end of 50s, you know?
Damn, so this chick survived for like 30 years?
Give or take, yeah, in the wilderness.
Jesus.
And it's
That's
possible if you find a
insane.
river, you can drink water. If you find like berries, you can eat the berries. You hunt rabbits, you know?
So she stayed possessed this whole time and only came back because he was there and she wanted to get revenge, basically. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. At first, I thought she was a ghost.
Me too.
And then, like, later I found out she was like, okay, like, she's actually alive. She's just really f***ing possessed. Like,
You got any other comments about this movie in general?
nah.
Like your facial expression when you said that. Because that was my reaction to this movie. I was like, eh. I mean, it's. I want to point it out. If you like this kind of movie, you will like this movie because it's shot really well. Like
You like this kind of movie, you would like this movie.
the. Yes, because
Okay.
well, I was trying to say like I mean, but the story, like the story about people going to the country and you know. But I feel like I've seen this movie 20 other times.
No, this one was in a different language.
Yeah. So I don't want to say it's a terrible movie. I just say that it's a story that I've seen so much. It's kind of like deja vu in a way, kind of.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good movie too, but like, yeah, it feels overdone. Like, and who knows, maybe this movie was before the other ones that I've seen that made me feel this way, but the damage is done. Been
Well,
done too many
let the record say
times.
that this was your pick, my friend.
I know, but I didn't even, like, I think I saw the trailer for this movie once and that was it.
All right, so the units for tonight's rating of this critique segment, I'm gonna label the units as enraged exes.
Okay.
So how many enraged exes do you give this movie?
Let's go with the five.
Gonna go a little lower than you and give it a four.
Okay.
So this movie gets 4.5 out of 10 enraged exes from us. That was our critique segment. That was our reaction to this movie, quote unquote. Reactions are trendy nowadays on YouTube.
Oh yeah. They've been trendy, homie. Where have you been?
Dude, I grew up in Mexico. We're always about 5 years after, behind everything. So without any more comments from either of us, we'll go ahead and take a little break and come right back with the academic segment. And we have something spooky for you guys on this one, so stick around.
Ooh.
Okay, everyone, so we have reached our academic segment in which we, Monica and myself, connect the topic of a movie to something that we've come across in our everyday lives. Or maybe not our personal everyday lives, but something that we've heard about on the internet or something that we read about or something like that, right? And as we very briefly talked about it in the first segment, the guy, Francesco, performs some sort of demonic binding ritual on a girl he was dating because he didn't feel ready to be a family man.
Oh no.
I mean, he liked the girl and he liked her for what she was and everything, but as soon as she was pregnant, he's like, nope. Trained to Nopeville, so he did this ritual. She, in turn, lost her baby, but was also either possessed or taken over by this mysterious entity, right? Okay, so that is basically what happens, or the background of what happens in that movie. And being Hispanic, we've talked about how we have come across cases of witchcraft with brujería in our culture. And we've talked about some of those. I've talked about my story when I was cursed. And it's funny because what happened in that movie and what I'm going to talk about right now, it's according to the person that helped me get over this, very similar to both of these cases, right? And again, it is not our job to make anyone believe in stuff they might not believe in, but I've shared that experience because I can't explain anything, or I can't explain it in any other way, rather. As far as the fact that I went to doctors, medical doctors, I was found to be in quote unquote a perfect build of health, even though I was not very well. I couldn't eat anything. I lost about 10 pounds in 2 weeks. So I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't even water made me feel grossed out. And as soon as I was taken to this person, within a day I was eating like normal, I was sleeping like normal. So I mean, but anyways, that's the basic summary of my experience with quote unquote witchcraft. So have you, my friend, ever heard of the case of a woman named Mireya Lopez?
Nope.
You have not.
I don't think so.
But you are familiar with like Mexican witchcraft stuff, right? So you do know what an amarre is, of course.
It's basically when somebody puts a curse or, an enchantment, whatever you want to call it, on somebody else. And they do this thing where, well, I've seen different ways that people do it, but like some people use pictures, some people use like it has to be like personal item of the other person or something showing that person that you want to put the spell on. and you tie like a rope or your hair or something, right? To basically bind you to that person. And the point of that is to make sure that they're always thinking about you or whatever, and that they'll somehow find their way to you so they can be with you. Because the point of you doing that to a person is because you want them to be in your life forever, or for as long as you have them bound to you, you know? So that's, and then no matter what that person does, like, everything will basically go to crap if they're not with the person who put that spell on them. Because, like, the whole point is for things to go bad in their life so that they come back to you, basically. More or less. Yeah.
No, I mean that's a perfect explanation, my friend. Thank you for that. So, in the case of Mireya Lopez, I heard about this case about 2 3 years ago, but when I saw this movie, it just came back to my mind automatically because what happened in the case of Mireya Lopez is this gentleman and his family, I don't think they ever state their names in the at least not in the video that I saw. They go and pay their respects to the guy's mom, who's passed away. So you know how in our culture we tend to go to visit our loved ones in their graves, either Dia de Muertos or their birthdays, for example, or what would have been their birthdays, or on their anniversary of their passing, right? So that's something that we do, and people they make a big deal out, especially in central Mexico, like in close to the Mexico City area. You know, they're a lot more into the religion, you know, Catholic religion than we might be up here. I think people in the north are not as into it as they are down there. I mean, but in my family, we still do that. We still visit our loved ones in their graves at certain special dates, right? Every now and then. So what happened is this gentleman and his family, his wife and his two children, they go to visit his mom's grave because I think it's her anniversary of her passing or something like that. When they get there, they find the dirt around her grave was has been disturbed.
What?
And in those procedures you just discussed a couple minutes ago, in certain beliefs, it is stated that if you place this so-called amarre in a grave or in a graveyard, it actually becomes like more potent, like exponentially. So
It's so
its effectiveness,
powerful.
yeah, its effectiveness will be like super higher than it would be if they just put it somewhere like in a different room or whatever, right? Like in somebody's room, because of the implications of the graveyard. You know, all the energy of the dead in there. The people that make these kinds of things believe that that energy helps their enchantments grow in power. So now this guy finds the dirt around his mom's grave has been stirring. That it's already unnerving enough. So he goes in to investigate, and they dig. They or they, you know they kind of move the dirt and they find this little thing, right? An amarre. And basically, what they find is, oh, by the way, this happened in Aguascalientes, Mexico, which is close to that area that I was talking about, the central Mexico area. So they recorded all this because they want to file a complaint. They're like, hey, I don't know who's doing this, who disturbed my mom's grave. I'm gonna file a complaint on the graveyard. Management, whatever, because I want to find out who did this or what this is. So as he's doing that, he's recording the video. He has his family, his kids, unearth these objects from the ground,
Oh
and they
no.
found, well, a couple of things. They found two dolls. Actually, I believe they're wax figurines, like wax from the candles, and that's also another thing that's kind of popular for those kinds of things, those kinds of rituals. They're tied with a long red ribbon. This ribbon's like, I want to say at least 5 yards of ribbon.
And the red ribbon's like super symbolic too. The color red really.
So one of the after they untied the ball the balls after they sorry they untied the string, they see that one of the figurines had a picture of a man with needles all over his face. So through his eyes, through his forehead, through his mouth, you know, everything, right? They decide, well, there's something in here, inside the, because I guess they shake the figurine and they feel something moving in there. So they break it, or they split it open, and guess what they found in there?
A tooth.
Well, I wish it'd be something like that, my friend. They actually found what looks like an animal's heart inside the figurine.
Oh no.
like a small heart, maybe like a small animal, maybe like a dog or something like that.
That's intense, dude.
Yeah, I mean, at some point I actually thought it was like a young person's heart because it looks almost like a human heart.
Yeah.
The guy is expressing his disgust and he's like cursing and, you know, the whole nine yards, as I would be, and I think a lot of us would be upset that somebody buried this on our loved one's grave or around the grave, you know, in the dirt. So now they saw the other figurine had a picture of a woman. And this woman figurine also had another little heart inside of it. So that's two hearts already. They also found a letter, and I'm gonna use that loosely, a quote unquote letter, wrapped around the hummingbird, a dead hummingbird, with a red ribbon also. So somebody killed this hummingbird. They wrote the letter. They wrapped the paper around the hummingbird's dead body, and then strung it up with red string. So, what's your take on that so far?
Well, this is some strong ass magic. Like, this person was hella determined. Definitely, like, went above and beyond to make sure this worked.
On top of that, they also found a figurine of the Santa Muerte.
Oh, hell no.
So, dude, this
No.
lady went all out, dude. She has all these figurines and animal hearts and dead
Who
hummingbirds
was this man? Like, why did she want him so bad? Is he f***ing rich? Like, is he, like, just the most amazing man on the planet? Because that's hard. The La Santa Muerte, dude? You're already f***ing with some, like, really dark, strong stuff. Like, for a guy.
Well, Monica, in your words, for the uninitiated in our audience that may be listening to us for the first time, what is your impression of La Santa Muerte? What is it, first of all?
It's kind of like the opposite of like La Virgencita, you know, kind of like, because it's like, it's also, well, I've heard people say that the Santa Muerte is not intended to be bad, but you can use it for bad purposes. Like, narcos use it to, like, you know, get money or whatever. Like, they make little sacrifices or they give her little gifts. Like, they'll have like a big one and put little gifts on it so that they'll get what they want. But it can also be like a symbol of protection, which they also use her as a symbol of protection. Usually it's involved with like a lot of dark magic, like dark, like brujeria, like the bad stuff. Not like, oh, like a little charm to like make someone like you or give you a good grade in school or whatever the fuck, you know. Like, no, this is like strong stuff. Like, you're reaching into the depths of, you know, the unknown, basically, just to get something that you want. If you want it that bad.
Yeah, in essence, this entity, this being Santa Muerte, is something that's equally as revered as it is feared,
Exactly.
depending who you ask about this. So they found a figurine of this entity, and inside of this figurine, there were pictures of this man's kids.
Oh no.
And also a letter addressed to them. So there's two letters. There's a letter between the two people, Mireya and the gentleman that she's trying to bind.
Catch crap, yeah.
And there's a letter addressed to the kids. And now I was lucky enough that the video that I came across for this had the actual transcript of the letters. So
Oh,
I will proceed to read those letters to you right now. I'll read them in Spanish because they're written in Spanish, obviously. This happened in
wow. Okay.
Mexico. But I will summarize the content of these letters, or you can help me summarize that when I finish reading them. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read them. You're not gonna hear this right now, Monica, because I'm gonna read it with my regular voice. But I'm gonna do some technical magic in the background, so when the episode is published, it's gonna sound like I'm possessed or something like that. So I'm gonna add like a creepy like possessed voice to my narration of this, okay?
All right.
But right now, it's just gonna sound like regular old me. But when you guys hear this in the audience, you're gonna hear some exorcist type of crap, you know? Like, it's gonna. Just setting the mood here, you know?
All right.
So the first letter is as follows.
Yo, Mireya López, le ato a ti, Alejandro Guerra, para que no puedas dormir. Que te falte el aire, que no encuentres tranquilidad con nada ni con nadie, que aunque pienses en otra, solo quieras estar conmigo, y solo pienses en venir a mí, a mi cama y a mi cuerpo, que sea el único lugar donde tendrás paz. Conjuro aquí a todos los poderes de la tierra y de los muertos, a la Santa Muerte, a la cual te tengo consagrado y entregado a todos sus seres y sus potestades, para que te amarren a mí para siempre, a todo cuerpo y tu espíritu, Alejandro. Que no vivas sin mí, para que te sientas siempre atraído a mí. Que aunque tú quieras ir con otra mujer, nunca puedas, porque sientes morirte sin mí. Que me veas lo más inocente y lo más amorosa, lo más leal y lo más fiel.
Wow.
Que siempre veas en mí a la mujer más buena. Que no confíes en nadie más que en mí. Y que no puedas convivir con tu familia ni con tus hijos. Que tu única familia sea yo. Que todo lo que tú posees solo pienses en dármelo a mí y a nadie más. Todo lo que yo te pido me lo darás rápidamente. Tu fortuna me pertenece, y me la darás a mí porque tú me perteneces. Y pelearás con tu mamá, con tus hermanos y con tus hijos. Te quedarás solo para mí. No aceptarás consejo ni opinión de nadie, solo los míos, porque yo soy tu dueña, y tú eres y serás en obediencia lo que yo pida.
Sí.
Me darás todo lo que yo necesite siempre. Si tú alguna vez quieres a otra mujer, jamás podrás ser feliz y volverás a mí, porque yo te ato, te domino y sello la puerta de tu felicidad fuera de mí. Y sello esto con la potestad de la Santa Muerte, porque antes morirás que marcharte de mi lado. Y quedaste sellado con ofrenda de sangre, y así será por siempre.
Dang, this chick was not messing around. Whoa. Did she, like, literally thought of everything? You know, props to her, dude. Like, she thought of every single little detail. Like, you're gonna give me your money, and you're gonna want to. You're gonna never be happy with anybody else, just only with me. You will only find peace with me. No matter what you do, you're gonna have to come back to me, or you will never be happy. You will never be at peace. Damn.
This lady was... she went all out, bro.
Dude, she really wants this guy. That's crazy.
I just thought that it would sound more, like, ominous in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah. It also has more character in Spanish. I don't know, it just sounds more intense. Like... wow.
And it's gonna sound more intense, or it sounded more intense, I guess, because I'll add, or have added by this point, the special effects of the voice. But
wow, dude. Wait, so what did she say to the kids?
Well, I'm getting to that, because I also have the transcript of that letter.
Okay.
And I'm also gonna add the same effects to this, so.
Alright, cool.
But basically everything you said is true. Like, this girl just, you know, wants the guy's money. She's gonna get him to fight with his family, his kids, his mom. Uh-huh.
She won't listen to any... That was where I was like, damn, you really thought of everything. She said, you won't want to listen, or you won't listen at all to anybody's advice. Nobody's advice. Like, anything that's negative, basically, said about her, he's gonna be like, uh-uh. Blow it off.
Yeah, it's not true.
I can't hear you. All I think about is her. Like, that's crazy. And then she, like, it was with the... she did a blood ritual and everything to, like, make it, like... hella strong. Mm-hmm. And she talked to the sun, where she, like, made the what is it called, this
la Santa Muerte,
no, but like la ofrenda, like,
or like the offering.
Yeah, she made an offering to la Santa Muerte. Like, fuck, dude, I would not want to piss this lady off. Like, that's intense.
Oh wow. Speaking from experience, the lady that helped me, she said something similar to this was done to me.
Wow.
And again, it's not my job to make anyone believe something they might not be ready to, or inclined to believe or whatever, but I'm just speaking from things that I've gone through, And I can't find any other explanation for what happened except for, you know, that I was healed by this lady with her rituals and stuff. I was made better.
Now I just want to go to a lady, like, to a curandera, dude, just to make sure that I don't have anything with me, like, just before it gets bad, like, you know, damn.
Yeah, dude. I was gonna ask you if you've ever felt anything that's done to you or something.
I mean, I don't think so. Like, I mean, I was young and stupid, but, like,
all of us at some point.
I've never felt like, oh, I need this guy or I need this person or whatever. Like, I don't think so. Like, not even now. Like, it's
no, but
it's
I don't mean you doing it, but maybe a guy doing it to you, because it can also go the other way.
Well, guys, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've never felt like I was that obsessed with a man ever. I mean, I would get like treated like, you know, like I was just like the toy, I guess you could say that. They would only come to me when they wanted something. And I would think about them. Like, thought I was, like, into them or whatever. But, like, I've never been, like, oh, dude, I can't eat, I can't sleep, I can't, like, breathe without this person. Like...
Yeah, that's not really a curse. That's just them being douches.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, like, but, again, I've never felt like I needed somebody to breathe, you know? Like, I've just kind of been like, ah, whatever. Like, they're being dumb. Like, bye.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that's a good thing, you know? Like, fuck that, dude.
That's me, good.
Dealing with that because of a person, no thank you, bye.
Are you ready to hear the letter to the kids?
Yes.
You thought the first one was intense.
I'm excited. Can't wait to hear this.
Well, this is again the lady Mireya Lopez addressing this letter to the, or this curse letter, mm-hmm. to Alejandro's kids. me. Okay.
Por los dioses te invoco, amo de la muerte, dios de lo desconocido. Te llamo, levanta de la vida a la muerte a Jesús y Daniel Berra. Satanás escucha mi llamado. Haz un llamado de ellos, un recuerdo distante. Haz de su vida un pasado, sea sus muertes. Sus desdichas, mi voluntad. Que el ángel de la muerte tome sus vidas. Si no es por enfermedad, entonces por accidente. Que odien a su padre, Alejandro Berra, y se odien entre ellos. Que mueran como perros abandonados. Que su padre nunca quiere estar con ustedes. Que él se sienta desesperado a su lado y solo quiera venir a mí. Que sean olvidados por él y en ese olvido permanezcan. Porque con nadie compartiré lo que es mío. Ni sus negocios, ni sus bienes, ni su tiempo. Todo me pertenece a mí.
What?
Él solo vivirá para hacer mi voluntad, y con mi voluntad ustedes dejarán de existir. Que sea así, como su padre vende su ganado para sacrificio, así sean ustedes vendidos en sacrificio a Satanás.
Whoa.
Y su sacrificio será... Porque su muerte es mi voluntad y mi voluntad su realidad.
Damn, dude. So she's like straight up offering them to Satan.
Yeah.
And be like, y'all are gonna die because I don't want you in the way. Like, that's f***ing crazy.
Yeah, I don't...
But like, but she's saying, okay, all his time, all his attention, everything belongs to her. Work cannot impede. How the hell is he gonna make money to give her the shit that she wants?
Well, I'm sure she would let him work or just for that. Get away from her just enough to conduct his business deals. Because she makes it sound like this guy's a cattle entrepreneur or, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because he says that, or she says in the letter that he sells cattle for food, you know. So I guess he, livestock, yeah. You know, like livestock.
Yeah. Huh.
So he's probably the owner of meat markets or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
Rather loaded man, because... She wants all his money, and she wants all his animals and all his time, and but she wants the kids to die so she can keep everything.
That is f***ing crazy.
I mean, wow, dude, imagine somebody being that, like,
to go that length, dude. Like, how obsessed do you have to be with somebody? Like, wow.
The question mark to all this is, was this in fact real? Because I have not been able to find any conclusion to this, any aftermath. any what happened. I mean, the family that recorded this, I really don't think they would have made this up. I don't know what you think. I mean, I don't think they would have buried something in their mom's grave or something or whatever.
Yeah, no, because you're defacing, like...
I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't think they would have done it. So maybe somebody else did it, but I don't know if it was like a joke.
Like a prank.
Because I've met people that actually do stuff like this, and it's just as deranged as this stuff right here.
I mean, it's crazy. Just the fact that they touched that stuff, I would not touch that. Because you don't know how powerful that shit is. And I mean, I'm superstitious. I believe in that stuff. So I would not touch it because I wouldn't want any of that energy transferring over to me. That's ugly, dude. That's ugly magic. Like, no.
I mean, to wish somebody's death because you want...
Yeah, because you want to be with somebody forever. No, that's
it's
too much.
It's not even about... I don't think it's even about him. I mean, I think she, like, in some weird, deranged way, loves him.
But she wants his money.
But she wants... That's what she's after to me. Like, in the end, I think that's what it's about. You know, the riches,
yeah,
the money.
Probably. Yeah.
So this girl puts every novella villain to shame, dude.
For real. This is intense. If this is real, like, that's just crazy. Like...
I mean, I tried looking for conclusions to this, or if this person was in fact real, but I wasn't able to find anything, dude. Nobody's done a follow-up on this. Nobody's done... the family themselves, I don't think they've posted anything after that, you know?
So, yeah.
So, I just wanted to show this to people, because even in the case of it not being... And when I say that it's not real, I'm not saying that the magic itself is real, but I mean about the act itself of... making an offering to dark entities for their own benefit at the expense of others.
Yeah.
That is real. That people believe that they can do stuff like this and get away with it and get what they want.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by this case being real. This is the lady actually, in fact, this crazy, and did she actually perform this ritual, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not speaking about the ritual itself, but the act of...
Right.
Planning this.
Just a big person.
Yeah. Going to somebody that will do this for her, or maybe even doing it herself. Because, again, it involves dead animals. You know, there's two hearts in these figurines that look like animal hearts.
Yeah.
There's the dead hummingbird. And then there's the letter asking for the kids to die, to, you know, sacrificing them to Satan, you know? Like, I mean.
That's too much, bro. That's way too much.
Yeah, and as a nice conclusion to this, like I said, there's no follow-up to this, but something that's a little bit related to it. You ever heard of Catemaco?
I don't think so.
No? Catemaco is a village in the state of Veracruz in Mexico.
Okay.
That is renowned for its witchcraft.
Damn.
So people from all over Mexico, all over Latin America even, maybe even the world, I don't know. They go here because they believe that they can find somebody that will do something for them to improve their lives.
Huh.
Good or bad. I've been there, but I didn't actually visit that place. I was on the way, or my family and I were on the way to visit. We have family in that state, in Veracruz, but not in that village. It's a little village, dude. My family lives in a different city.
Yeah.
But we were on the way, and we happened to drive by there, and... I kid you not, dude, there were lines of people trying to buy flowers, trying to buy like charms, like figurines, and we stopped for gas, and the guys in the gas station, they look like normal people, you know?
Yeah.
And they asked my mom, hey, ¿vienen a ver un brujo? Like, are you here to see a witch doctor or curandera?
Yeah.
And we're like, no, we're just passing by, man. He's like, oh, okay. I mean, because if you did, I mean, this guy over here, he's really good, man. He can get you what you want for cheap. And so the entire economy of that entire town revolves around
witchcraft,
dude. It's just like, you know.
That's crazy.
I want to go back at some point and, like, talk to people there.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
That'd be cool.
I mean, the downside is that it's like a 20-hour drive from here, or whatever.
That's how long it takes to get here, too, so...
I would need to fly to somewhere in Veracruz and maybe rent a car or something, and that would be like a 5-hour drive or whatever, but... I want to visit that place, and if I ever get to do that while I'm still around and in the podcast and everything. We'll But I mean, so even if I don't get to go, I'd still like to talk about that village in more in depth at some point. Maybe yeah. the next time that we come across the topic of witchcraft in one of the movies that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's interesting, dude. It's a very interesting town.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
And just a final note about that town is that there, there's mountains in that part of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So you're driving, and it's like dangerous because any bad luck you have, or any like, you know, you slip down the edge of a cliff and you die.
You know?
So I remember clearly, it wasn't that late in the evening. It was maybe like 5 or 6 in the evening, but it's summer, so it's the sun's still out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they had like this little lake or lagoon or something, and it was dark. Like the water was dark.
Damn.
I don't know if that meant anything or whatever, but usually when you picture a lagoon or a lake, it's like, if not super clear, at least it's like blue or dark blue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This water looked like black. So I don't know if that meant anything or whatever, but I have that picture in my mind as I'm speaking about it right now. I'm with my family in that car that we were driving, whatever.
Yeah.
In that mountain, and I look down the window and I see that black body of water.
And it's creepy.
Yeah, people lined up to buy stuff and do whatever, all kinds of rituals that they do there. So it's an interesting village, my friend. I want to talk about that more in depth if you're down for that.
I'm down
at some point. So yes, that was our academic segment. If you guys stuck around for this, thank you very much. Hope you enjoy that. We were still not done, by the way. We still have one more segment to go before we close off, and we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Yes, we are now at the Know Thine Enemy segment, in which Monica and myself try to talk about the villain of the movie or topic or story, whatever we're doing, a little bit more in depth. And I just want to bring up that chuckle we had about my innocence.
Mm-hmm. He says he is. I disagree.
Yes, because I was cursed and I'm innocent. I don't know why I attract all the crazies, my friend. And that is why I'm still single at age 36, mm-hmm. the prime of my life. So, Monica, you mentioned the name of the villain in this movie, and I'm going to use that term loosely because I will bring up the fact or the question of whether or not this woman is a villain, but for the time being, we're going to think she is, right?
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. what is her name?
Ada.
And according to the classification system that we have, she'd be spectral, demonic, or supernatural, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's basically, I don't think she's a ghost.
She's not a ghost. She's just a possessed person.
Mm-hmm. So something isn't quite right with her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What about her backstory? Let's bring that up a little bit real quick again. What happened with this girl?
Well, I mean, she was engaged to be married to Francesco, the biggest douche ever. And she got pregnant. She wanted to keep the baby, but he didn't. And he was like, this is going to ruin my life because I'm too young. So because his mom is involved with, like, you know, witchcraft stuff, I guess, he knew how to do some things, tried to do it on his own, inexperienced, and he screwed her over. And from the grief of her losing her child, I guess she became vulnerable or something, and something took over her, and she became possessed, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. Oh, and she was also, she used to work for them, right? She was like their maid or something?
I believe so, yeah.
And they fell in love because they were young.
Yeah, that typical novella story of a rich young man falling in love with a poor maid, the maid, whatever.
The cute maid, yeah. Yeah, so that's basically what happened. She thought she won the lottery, and then bam, dude turned out to be a f***ing weirdo and screwed her for the rest of her life, and then she just ended up having to die 30 years later. Yeah, 30 years later.
Mm-hmm. Give or take, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you agree that her motivation or goal in this movie is to basically get the family that she always wanted?
Yeah.
Because...
She wanted kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with him.
Yeah, she was in love.
And then he's now, 30 years later, he's got this kid. It's not his, but loves him like father. And... or looks up to him at least. And she's like, well, look, here's your perfect little family. You already have somebody that you care about. Let me make her mine, and then we can be together. Mm-hmm. You know? But it's not the way things work. It's been 30 years. He's moved on.
Yes, he clearly has, because he found a pretty girl to get married to. And like you said, a daughter that is mm-hmm. not his, but loves him like her real dad.
Like his own, yeah.
Yeah, so we mentioned that she appears in the background in a couple scenes.
Yeah.
Here and there. And what about that mold in the room?
Dude, I thought it was her throwing up. Like, maybe that she puked on that.
Uh-huh.
But I guess it's not. I guess it's just, like, the residue of the energy from her, whatever possessed her.
Because when they first get to the house, the mold is kind of just in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And as the movie's progressing, that mold kind of starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
What do you think that meant? Or
that the spirit is getting stronger.
I would agree with you.
The stronger presence. So mm-hmm. that's why it's so out of control towards the end. And that's also the room that they were in, no? Like, where they performed tried to perform the exorcism. Was it in the...
I know it's the room where the girl's sleeping, the little girl. I don't know if that was a rumor in which they were doing that in the beginning. I think they're doing that in the basement, no?
I thought that too, but then, like, it looks like that stain was created when she was trying to get healed.
I can't remember that, honestly. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong, but...
As far as her abilities or powers, she can perform rituals to bind people to herself, meaning that she makes them, she controls them, right? Or she like takes over their bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And apparently she learned this from the family, from the mother-in-law and Francesco.
Mm-hmm.
What about her weaknesses? Well, she's human.
Yeah. The idea is to have the protection spells work against her, so that's something that she could be weakened by, but obviously not enough because she was still doing her thing, almost killed everybody.
Yeah. She killed the maid, right? The old maid?
Yeah.
She killed her for sure.
She went back for seconds. She had already scratched her up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she finished the job.
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, she was defeated by a pair of scissors to the neck.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I wanted to ask you if you sympathize with her. Is she actually a villain in this movie?
No, she's not. She got screwed over by a piece of shit guy who was too much of a pussy to, like, own up to his mistake. He should have wrapped it up, dude. He didn't. And, you know, he ended up getting this chick pregnant. And although he wanted to marry her because he was in love with her, he didn't love her enough to, you know, have the kid with her and then figure out how to make it work. Like, just because they were going to have a kid, it didn't mean that he couldn't still do whatever the hell he wanted to do. Because, like, what was he, a pianist? You know, like, his family was rich. So technically, he could have still done whatever the hell he wanted to do. So, yeah, she's not a villain. She's the victim, if anything.
I agree with you. I was thinking about this when I was writing the notes for this episode. I was like, this girl's not really a villain.
No, she's not.
She's a victim of circumstance, and I think her anger is justified.
Yeah.
Because basically, everything was taken away from her.
Yes.
She wanted a mm-hmm. kid. She wanted a family with this guy. She wanted, like, a family life, basically.
Yeah.
From what I see in her character as a person, I don't think she was after the money.
No.
I think she was just after the family life, you know?
Yeah. She just wanted to be happy.
So, do you have any other comments on this girl?
Nah. I was kind of hoping the guy would be dead, but apparently he's not, so.
Well, do you think again, like the demonic force took over his dead body by this point?
I think so. I think that's what happened. That's my theory.
I, for one, happen to sympathize with her motivations.
Same. Me too.
So, you know that saying, guys? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Watch out.
That is true, my
Watch
friends.
out. You know, you never know which one's no brujería, so obedient girls,
You're gonna end
women.
up with Mireia Lopez in your life.
Right.
Somebody that
And you're not even gonna
offers,
know what hit you.
yeah, somebody that offers your offspring to Satan because she wants your money.
Yep. If
And
you have, if not, she's just gonna drive you crazy.
yeah, once again, that is why I'm single at the tender age of 36, my friend.
Tender age. That's funny.
40 is the new, what, 15?
Yeah,
It used to be that 40 was the new 20, but now it said that 50 is the new 30, so I was like, oh, okay, whatever, like.
y'all, they're just doing that to make them feel some that make themselves feel better. Like, honestly, age is age. Who cares? Like, who cares if you're 50? Who cares if you're 60? Who cares if we're all gonna get old? We're all gonna die.
This happiness segment was courtesy of Monica from EMBL. Well, yeah, I mean, YOLO.
Yeah, it's true. You do only live once, unless you've got magic, and then you can live whenever the as long as you want.
So that was our No Thy Name segment, in which we talked about Ava and her, I want to say, justified motivations for becoming evil in this movie.
Yep, we support you, girl.
And we'll be right back. Okay, everybody, a sad face for tonight once again because we have reached the ending of our episode once again. So, I want to thank everyone that listened in. If you are a repeat listener, thank you very much for coming back for more of this EMBL servings app. If you are a first-time listener, thank you very much for giving us your time. We hope you like what you heard and that you come back for more. All right, Monica?
Yes.
So, I want to give some shout-outs. We always do this at the end of our episodes, and I want to give this week's shout-outs to, once again, our Twitter followers. Twitter is like EMBL beat right there, right now. It's been growing, and we are really grateful for that, and I for one, am like surprised, in a good way.
Same.
So, thank you guys for that, and I want to give special thanks, or special shout-outs, rather, to our followers, Pixie and Hazel Soros Rex, because that's a cool name, by the way. I love that name. They won our sticker giveaways for this past week, so.
Yay, congrats, guys.
Well, actually, Pixie offered to do an exchange with us for stickers, actually.
A
So,
what?
like a sticker exchange. So, like, she's gonna
Oh,
mail
okay.
us some, and I mailed her some. But Hazel Soros actually won a giveaway, so.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll be doing those for the next few weeks just to show love to our followers. But yes, thank you guys very much. And I also want to give another shout out to Bridget from the episode that we did together with her. We talked about the movie The Witch. She's been keeping in touch via Instagram, and we might be working again with her sometime soon. So stick around for that, guys. If you like that episode,
Yay.
she's awesome. I would recommend her channel on YouTube. She is under Official Girl Behind the Counter, I believe. And she reviews weird movies that are kind of like unknown. She has her own little style. I'm a really big fan of hers, by the way. Like her style, her delivery, everything's. She's pretty cool. And to make a long story short. So, yeah, if you want to hear about movies that you've never heard about being reviewed and talked about in a very interesting and fun way, by all means, go out and check her content, please. She is awesome. How about you, Monica? Any shout-outs for you?
Just to the Twitter followers, like I keep seeing all the notifications. It keeps going off like all day. So keep it up. It's awesome. I like seeing those.
It's a big boost of morale.
Yes, it is for sure.
All right, and speaking of Twitter, let's remind our audience, Monica, of our social media accounts. So our Facebook is under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and our Instagram is under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS, and you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
All right, and our Letterboxd, in which we do bite-sized reviews of the movies that we talk about in this podcast, is also under Myths Behind LGDS. You can actually check in our watch list for the movies that we might be looking into in the future. But I mean, besides movies, we also talk about stories, and we also talk about folk legends, so we kind of like to surprise people every now and then. So
yeah, if there's a movie that you guys want us to watch and talk about, send us an email or a comment on Instagram, and we'll go ahead and check that out.
The time has come for our little website jingle. Once again, so okay, our website /official/unofficial/... a lot of slashes there. is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Woo!
So in that website, by the way, we have some pictures that I edited, make them look a little bit creepy. The goal is to eventually put pictures of that we take in creepy locations and post them up there. But for now, all we can do is edit pictures that we find and put them up there.
Yes.
We also have our merchandise there for sale. We have also... Oh, that's still kind of in the works, but it'll be updated in the next couple days. We also have a list of our classification system. We have external links to other topics that have to do with the topics that we talk about in the podcast episodes. So I will be adding more stuff to that in the near future, hopefully. So yeah, go ahead and check that out, please.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Monica, and before we leave, we gotta give our audience a hint of what our next episode's topic will be on.
We will be talking about a series that's currently popular on Netflix.
Well, that's just several of those, so that's okay.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Having said all that, that was our episode. Do you have any final comments, Monica, on anything that we talked about today?
Don't piss off a girl, a woman. You never know. They know. So don't do it.
Yes.
Just be good.
Yes, that is sage advice from my good friend Monica here. And yeah, take it for what it is, my friends. Yes, I want to wish everyone a good night, evening, morning, witchcraft session, offerings to Satan, demonic lord, whatever it is you guys are doing. Just be sure you're safe while doing it. All right, so we'll see you in the next one. Until then, have a good one.
Bye.